We'll be looking at verses 1 through 9 of John chapter 10 this morning. We're studying the Great I Am on Sunday mornings. And we're looking at the I Am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. Beautiful stuff, beautiful revelation about who Jesus is, who God is. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless our time together. Disclose yourself to us. Reveal yourself to us in wonderful ways this morning. Lord, for those of us who belong to you, we rejoice in our salvation this morning. We're grateful. Thank you for opening our eyes. I pray for anyone here that might be searching, checking things out. I ask, Lord, that you would meet them in a powerful way this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless this time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you remember that crazy game show that was popular in the 60s and 70s? Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall. Come on, I know you're dating yourself. I remember it. As a kid, remember the contestants would dress up in their costumes, crazy outfits, and Monty Hall would make deals with all of them. And the deals involved taking a risk of some sort. The contestant could end up with a really nice prize, or a zonk, as they called it, which was a ridiculous, worthless sort of prize, like a garbage can filled with garbage. At the end of Let's Make a Deal of every show, Monty Hall would approach those who had won significant prizes. And he would ask two of them if they'd be willing to trade their prize to have a chance at the big deal of the day. And the biggest prize, the big deal, was behind either door number one, door number two, or door number three. And you remember how the show ended. All those doors would lift and you'd find out what they got. When it comes to taking risks, when it's concerning materialistic, temporal, earthly sorts of things, that might be good fun and make for good entertainment. But when it comes to spiritual things and spiritual truth, everlasting life, that's not the time to take risk. The consequences are too great. When it comes to spiritual matters, you want to be 100% accurate. You want to make sure that you've made the right choice. There are a number of religions, beliefs, philosophies, spiritual leaders out there that offer salvation to people. They claim to be the access to God. And you could sort of think of all those options as doors that are set before you of which you could choose from. You can go to this door or that door. They're all offering eternal life. Which one will you pick? Let me tell you, you better be certain. You don't want to zonk in that venue. You want to make the right choice. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the door. Enter in by me." Now, when Jesus says, "I am the door," he's obviously speaking figuratively. He's not saying he's a literal door. He's saying he's an entrance into something. And you're going to find out that Jesus is an entrance into some wonderful things. Let's read first 9 verses of John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Shepherding was probably the most common vocation in the days of Jesus. There were lots of shepherds. There were lots of animals to be taken care of. In fact, in those days, animals was a sign of wealth. In our day, we ask, how many bucks do you make? In their days, they asked, how many animals do you have? It was a sign of wealth. And so many shepherds were needed to take care of these sheep, goats, other animals. And in this passage, Jesus is speaking to a scenario that the people in that day would have been very familiar with when it comes to the whole occupation of shepherding. In the first 5 verses, Jesus speaks of there being a sheepfold that houses sheep. There's a gate in that sheepfold or pen. There's a doorkeeper. There are legitimate shepherds that have access to the sheep. And then there are illegitimate shepherds. Jesus calls them thieves, robbers. Almost every village in that day had a central communal sheep pen that would house all of the sheep of the village. This sheepfold was central. It was usually located on a sunny spot, surrounded by walls, one gate into it. Some parts of some sheepfolds had shelter to it, so depending on the weather, the sheep could be inside or outside. And that sheepfold held all of the flocks for everybody in that village. So all the shepherds would deposit their flocks into that sheep pen when they came home at night. They'd take them through the gate, and then there would be a doorkeeper, a gatekeeper, somebody who would keep watch at night to watch over all the flocks of the city. Every morning, the shepherds would get up early. They'd get ready for work. They'd get a latte or something. No, I'm just kidding. And they'd go to that sheepfold. They'd go to the doorkeeper. And they'd go to get their sheep. And in those days, the shepherd had a really intimate, warm, actually, relationship with his flock. This shepherd would go into the sheep pen and he would just call his sheep by name. And just the sound of his voice, there was such a familiarity between shepherd and sheep that to gather his flock from among all the flocks that were in there, he'd just say, "Come on out." And they'd recognize his voice. And the shepherd would go out, and there they'd go out for a day of pasture. And after the day of pasture, they'd come back in and spend the night in the sheepfold once again. Jesus is speaking to that type of scenario here. And in those days, there were bad guys. There were thieves and robbers. People would want to get into these sheepfolds and steal the sheep and destroy the sheep. And the only way for them to get in was to either confront the doorkeeper or come at night, hop over the walls. And that was a problem in those days. In fact, many thieves would come late at night. They'd sneak over the wall. they butcher and slaughter sheep right in the sheep pen. And then throw their carcasses back up over the wall, and that's how they'd rip off the city from their flocks. Jesus is speaking of that. You need to think of that as we look at this passage. There's also another scenario that was common in those days. Many times the shepherd, when they came and got their flocks at the sheep pen, they'd go out and they'd be gone for weeks, days. They'd go way out into nowhere to find an appropriate place for pasture, and they'd camp out and they'd stay out there for weeks. And under those scenarios, one of the first things the shepherd would do when he was way out is he'd construct a crude little sheep pen made of crude little walls, brush, unmortared rocks, just this little area that the sheep could go in at night. And there was one entryway usually to these crude little sheep pens and no door. So how were those sheep protected out there? Well, the shepherd would sleep in that entrance at night to keep the sheep in and to keep predators from coming in. And so in that environment, temporary camping trip out there, the shepherd literally became the door for those sheep. And that's what Jesus is getting at here in verse 7 when he says, I am the door of the sheep. He is that place of access. Spiritual application considering those scenarios. Clearly, this passage is saying that there are legitimate spiritual flocks. There is one legitimate spiritual flock with one legitimate spiritual shepherd that you want to be a part of. This passage is also saying that there are many illegitimate spiritual flocks with illegitimate spiritual shepherds that you don't want to be a part of. And this passage clearly teaches that Jesus is the only legitimate shepherd. Jesus Christ is claiming in this passage to be the only doorway to God, the only entrance into spiritual life, the only entrance to eternal life, everlasting life. Folks, only in Jesus Christ can one find access to God. He's the only legitimate shepherd. He's the only door, the only entrance. We know this because Jesus came the authorized way. He had the right credentials. In the case with the sheepfold in the village, the shepherds that were authorized, they didn't have any problems. They came right to the gate. The gatekeeper recognized them and the sheep recognized their voice and off they went. And Jesus is a shepherd like that. He came the right way. He came with all the credentials. He came by the book, you might say. The Old Testament, written hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene, told us exactly what to look for, told people exactly what the Messiah would be like when he came. And understand that Jesus fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies in his first coming. It was all planned out. The Bible tells those people exactly what to look for. And Jesus came in exact fulfillment to over 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah. He had the credentials. He was authorized. His miraculous birth, the place of his birth, his family line. There are 25 prophecies in the Old Testament that describe the way Jesus would die. hundreds of years before there even was crucifixion. The Old Testament prophecy said when the Messiah comes, this person will work miracles, and Jesus worked miracles. He was legit. He came to the door. He didn't have to hop over any walls. He's the only legitimate shepherd. He's also the only legitimate shepherd because of who he was. Jesus wasn't just a man. Jesus was and is God. He's the God-man. He's Yahweh, the great I am, in the form of a man. And by the way, the Old Testament did make prophecies saying that the Messiah who would come would be God himself. See it all over the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 23, it says, "Behold, the days are coming. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king will reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely." Now, this is his name, speaking of the Messiah who would come. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The Messiah who would come would be God. Now, think of the verse that we think of every Christmas. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name," the name of the Messiah who would come, "his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He's the only legitimate shepherd because he's God. He's the only possibility for entrance into everlasting life because he's God. He has those credentials. And clearly, this passage teaches that if you want to enter into life, then you must enter through Jesus as the only legitimate shepherd, the only Savior. In fact, in verse 7, when he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." You notice that Jesus doesn't just open the door to everlasting life. He is the door. He is the entrance. No one gets to everlasting life but through Jesus. So, understand, Jesus is claiming to be the only legitimate entrance, and you must enter through him. You need to understand, you must pick him. You must actually pass through Jesus. How do you pass through Jesus? What does it mean? It's almost like he's calling himself a curtain or a veil. You know, that you would just sort of pass through, and you need to pass through Christ in order to get to eternal life. Well, you could think of him as a veil. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil," that is, his flesh. The only way a person can enter into spiritual life is to pass through the veil of Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews says, his veil is his flesh. You must pass through the flesh of Christ in order to be saved. What does that mean? It's figurative. It's speaking of the death of Christ. Only through the death of Christ on the cross is there access into everlasting life, spiritual life. Only with him. And folks, listen, this is what you need to understand. This is what sets Jesus apart from all the other religions, all the other spiritual leaders. Jesus came and died for you. He died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short from the glory of God, and punishment is death and eternal separation from God. And there is a huge penalty to pay for sin, my friend. God is holy. He won't accept sinners in His presence. The only way for us to be freed from our sin and freed from death, freed from that penalty, the only way that is possible is for an appropriate substitute to come and take our place. This substitute had to be just like you and me, had to be human, perfectly man. Jesus was fully man. This substitute that would come would also have to be sinless, perfect, innocent. Jesus as God was spotless. He was without sin. He's the innocent one who went to the cross and died not for His sin, but for our sin. And Jesus did that, and He rose again the third day, and He has opened wide access to God through His death. And you enter in to that. You pass through Jesus. You pass through the veil of His flesh by acknowledging that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, and by understanding what Jesus did for you at the cross, embracing Him as your Savior. That is the only entrance. That is the only door. And think about it. Think about it. It's the only option that makes sense. It only makes sense that Jesus is the only way. Because of what He did, there's no other spiritual leader that claimed to have died on the cross for your sins. And if there's a spiritual leader, a human spiritual leader, who claimed that, big deal, that person was a sinner. Jesus is the only legitimate Savior, door, shepherd. You must give your life to Him. Charles Spurgeon told of a great Scottish minister, Mr. Innes. And this man once visited a lost man who was dying. This guy was on his deathbed. And when the minister came for the first time, the dying man said, "I'm relying on the mercy of God. God is merciful and He will never damn a man forever." When he got worse and was nearer to death, the minister went to him again and he said, the dying man, "My hope is gone. For I have been thinking, if God be merciful, God is just too. And what if instead of being merciful to me, He would be just to me? What would then become of me? I must give up my hope in the mere mercy of God. Tell me how to be saved." Mr. Innes told him that Christ had died in the stead of all believers, that God could be just and yet save the justified through the death of Christ. "Ah," said the unbeliever, becoming a believer, "there is something solid in that. I can rest on that. I cannot rest on anything else." I tell you, that's solid. What the Bible says about Jesus and sin, it's solid. It makes sense. The problem with people in this world is sin. We've all got it. All these religions tell you how to deal with sin, how to get right with God. Christianity says the only way you can get right with God is through the death of the perfect substitute in your place. It's just logical. It just makes the most sense. Behind door Jesus, what do you find? Eternal life, spiritual life, everlasting life, access to God. This passage also tells us, however, that there are those illegitimate shepherds, those illegitimate spiritual leaders, and you got to watch out for them, folks. They're out there. There are robbers. There are thieves. They're not authorized. Again, according to our scenario, these guys, they don't go to the gate. Where do they go? They go over the wall. They come at night. They don't come in authorized ways. Other spiritual leaders, other religions, they don't have prophecies backing them up like Jesus does. Most spiritual leaders and false prophets, they come up with a book, but it's a book that they wrote. And they're self-proclaimed messiahs. Jesus was foreseen. Jesus was planned. He came by the book. Other false substitutes, they are unauthorized. They come the wrong way. I saw a great clip that came out of a paper, Union Sun and Journal. Listen carefully to this. It says, due to unforeseen circumstances, no clairvoyant meeting will be held tonight until further notice. That's great. Jesus was foreseen. He was planned. He came by the book. The other spiritual leaders that you see and that you might choose from, they were unforeseen. They don't have any backup. Also, the other spiritual leaders you see here, they're very sneaky, these guys. They come at night. They hop over the wall. The Epistle of Jude tells us that false prophets come in stealth. They come through back doors. They're sneaky. They come into churches even, and they pretend to be Christians. Or they claim to adhere to the Bible. Or they talk Christianese. But they're not true Christians. You find out here in the passage that these guys are brutal. They're treacherous. It says they come to kill, steal, destroy. They're thieves. They're robbers. These guys may look good. They may sound good. They may think, you might even think by listening to them that they're leading you to this really nice, pleasant experience. They're butchers. They're butchers. They're robbers. They're thieves. They come to rip you off and exploit you. They will destroy you spiritually. And there are many options. And they're all over. And you got to be careful. Where do you find them? Ultimately, all these thieves, these robbers, these spiritual ripoffs, they're linked to their father, Satan, who is the father of all lies. Satan is the one who wants to be that brutal murder in your life, to rip you off, to keep you from the truth. And the false prophets, the false strangers, the spiritual leaders who claim to be ways to God, but they do not believe in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the robbers and they're under the control of Satan, whether they know it or not. Be careful. When Jesus was speaking here, this passage, he was speaking to the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. These were the ultra-religious folks, guys. The leaders of Judaism. The leaders who said to follow the law of Moses. Jesus is calling those guys robbers and thieves. Religious leaders. Beware. The New Age philosophy, all non-Christian religions, all of that, they're all rip-offs. In fact, I'll say it as strong as I can. Any spiritual leader that teaches that salvation is possible apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a robber and a thief. Any religion or philosophy that teaches that salvation is possible apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual slaughterhouse. There's only one way. Listen, when it comes to matters of religion, folks, spiritual truth, as you can already tell, I don't concern myself with being politically correct. I don't show a tolerance for other religions. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely respect people. People of all faiths, but I have no respect for religions that tell people a lie. To me, it's all a matter of what works. Being sensitive and politically correct. Listen, the real question is what works? Which religion works? Relationship with Jesus Christ is the only answer, my friend. Behind the other doors? Zonk! Behind Jesus who said, I'm the door, there's everlasting life, there's joy. You must be careful, though. It's my opinion that we live in dark ages, even in the church area. In America, I believe that there's pulpits and in quote-unquote Christian denominational churches, there's pastors in those pulpits that don't even know Christ anymore. Christian leaders, they call themselves Christian leaders, and they don't believe that Christ is the only way. Beware, we live in dark days. Great story I want to share with you. In John chapter 10, Jesus warned his followers of shepherds who do not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb in some other way. 16 centuries later, his words stung the heart of a man named Alexander Henderson. Listen to this. Henderson was born in Scotland in 1583, educated at St. Andrews, and sent to pastor the church at another town. This man wasn't a kind and godly man, however. He was a churchman, but not a genuine Christian. And his appointment to his new church was unpopular with the people. Prior to his arrival, they shut and bolted the church door to keep this guy from the pulpit. Can you imagine showing up and seeing that? Arriving in town, Henderson was determined to claim his parish, and when he couldn't force open the door, he crawled through the window and thus began his ministry, such as it was among them. One day he heard a group of Christians meeting for Bible study and worship. Their meeting was unauthorized by the state, and Henderson wanted to secretly discover what was being taught. He slipped through the shadows and took a back seat in a darkened corner. The teacher rose and turned to the day's Bible lesson, John 10, 1, 2, which read, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Henderson nearly fell from his chair. For those words brought to his mind his recent undignified scramble through the church window. His eyes were open, and he recognized his own hypocrisy. In simple faith, he gave himself without reserve to Jesus Christ. His village ministry immediately assumed a different tone, and for several years he tended his flock as a true shepherd. His reputation grew, and he became a leader in the Presbyterian movement to free Christianity in Scotland from the tyranny of state control. Isn't that beautiful? But I give you that illustration to let you know, just because a Christian leader, quote unquote, is in a pulpit, or just because you think you happen to be going to a Christian church or a Christian denomination, my friend, you got to be careful. They're sneaky. They've even gotten into the church. There is one way. Beware of all the false options. Look at what you get to enter into when you enter in by Jesus. Verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That's the promise. If you come to Jesus and you ask him to be your Savior, you'll be saved. Saved from your sin. Saved from the consequences of sin, which is eternal separation from God. You'll be saved from a wasted life, by the way, as well. You enter into salvation when you enter in by the door, Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. My friend, you will also enter in to safety and protection and freedom. Jesus is that door, remember. He keeps the wild animals and predators out, and he keeps you safe inside. Yes, you'll be forgiven and saved from your sin, but I also believe that the true born-again believer is protected by Jesus. Now, in this life, from being deceived, you are protected from Satan's attack. You are protected from the false prophets that are out there that would seek to lead you astray. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They don't recognize a stranger's voice, and when they hear a stranger's voice, they flee. That is a promise. If you're keeping close to the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer, and you're listening for his voice, my friend, staying close, you'll be kept safe. You'll be kept from falling into some type of error. In Jesus, there's freedom and liberation. You go in and out. I love that. Freedom. In and out of the sheepfold. Such liberty in Christianity. Such freedom. So many people in their approach to God, it's all about rules and regulations and legalism. And you see people carrying this burden of all this stuff they have to do to get right with God. If you come to Jesus Christ, you live by grace. There's freedom. It's not just a bunch of laws and rule keeping. And some Christians get afraid when preachers start talking like that about grace. Listen, you'll live a cleaner life under grace than you ever would under law. And you'll do it with the right motivation. Oh, there's joy and freedom. There's pasture. Nourishment. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is the entrance into abundant life. Real living. Real joy. He's the door. Only by Jesus will you find access to God, everlasting life, security, freedom, abundant life. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. A Roman soldier once came to Julius Caesar with a request. for permission to commit suicide. He was a wretched, dispirited creature with no vitality. Caesar looked at him. "Man," he said, "were you ever really alive? When we try to live our own lives, life is dull and it's a dispirited thing. But when we walk with Jesus, there comes a new vitality, a superabundance of life. It is only when we live with Christ that life becomes really worth living and we begin to live in the real sense of the world." Do you understand that? There's nothing better than following Jesus Christ. My life is an adventure. My life is a joy. There's satisfaction and there's fulfillment. Christian, those of you who have walked through the door, as we prayed even to begin this service, my prayer is that you would leave this place rejoicing afresh in your salvation. You found the only way. Your eyes have been opened. And I would encourage you, my brother and sister in Christ, to continue to enter into the joy of your Lord. Your relationship with Him. Listening to His voice. He's your shepherd. You're His lamb. Enter into abundant life. Enter into that security. I would also encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning to get the word out. Tell other people about Jesus. And I would tell you to be bold. Don't worry about the political correctness thing. Share the gospel message. Share it boldly. There's no other way. And then perhaps there's here this morning somebody who's never entered into true salvation through Jesus Christ. You've thought about it, but you have never personally walked through the door, walked through the veil. Jesus would say to you this morning, let's make a deal. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to the Savior this morning, get your sins forgiven. Let's bow our head, let's close our eyes. Let's have the worship team come up. Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for coming, for opening the way of salvation, for providing a new and living way. We rejoice this morning in our salvation, Lord. Thank you for finding, Lord, the only way for us to be saved and then becoming the only way. We marvel at your great love and the great sacrifice that you made so that we could be forgiven of our sins. I ask, Lord, a simple prayer this morning for your people. That we would stay close enough to you always, close enough to hear your voice. That we would follow you and you alone. And then I pray simply for anyone here this morning who needs to come to the door, to the only entrance into eternal life. The only thing that makes sense. the only way by which you can be saved. Would you humble yourself this morning and admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior? And would you ask Him right now to be your Savior? If that's you and you need to make that decision right now, I'd like you to raise up your hand high so I can see it. Boldly make a public profession of your need for Jesus Christ. Raise up your hand high. You have this opportunity right now to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've come to understand this morning that there is only one shepherd. There's one legitimate spiritual flock, one shepherd, one doorway, one entrance. And in this quiet moment, you have an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Raise your hand high. Anyone in our presence here this morning? Then, Lord, bless your people this morning with this wonderful reminder of who you are. We worship you afresh, Lord. We leave this place with joy. We love you, Lord. Let's stand.